This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Roswell County Historical Society. Today, I'll continue reading from Elbin Zabrocki's stories of his early days. He was born in 1914 and lived near Greenbush, and wrote these memories down for his descendants. Copies of his two booklets are in the research area at the Roswell County Museum. Here's another story from Elbin. I would like to back up a little bit and kind of give you a picture of farm life and the things that you had to do, the things that you hated to do, and the things that you did do and enjoyed. I know that there wasn't anything in the farm home that was more important and did you more good and had more utilitarian possibilities than the kitchen stove. The stove was the center of the household. For one thing, it gave you heat. You would throw wood. People in the South didn't use wood, they used corn cobs. And there was a firebox on the left side of the kitchen range, and it had a grill with a shaker handle on it. That was the first thing you did in the morning, turn that shaker handle and get the ashes to fall into the ash box. There would be different colors of ashes depending on what you were burning on that particular day. Then you had the heating oven. That was the thing on top of the range, which had usually two doors, one on the left side of the stove and one on the right side of the stove. And you used that for so many things. Usually, the main purpose of it was that while Mother was cooking on the stove, some of the food would be ready before the rest of the dinner was ready. So she put that food into the heating oven. You might find your mittens wet and you needed to dry them out, and that was an excellent place to put them to dry them out. Okay, visualize now. We are starting at the left with the fire. We've got the heating ovens on top. On the right-hand side was a tank, a little tank. Well, not so little. It would hold two pails of water. We called it the reservoir, and naturally with the heat from the firebox, usually we found the water there to be either lukewarm or almost warmer than lukewarm, depending on how long it had been in there. Now that was really handy if you came home out of the barn or garden and you needed a little bit of warmer water to wash your hands. You dipped the dipper into the reservoir and got yourself some warm water. And with homemade soap, if it wasn't laden too hard with lye, you might enjoy a good hand wash. Then the door on the range, the oven door I'm speaking of, would open forward. And if you came from the outside and were cold, you just opened up that oven door and stood in front. After chores were done and you might want to relax or read if you had something to read, you'd bring a chair next to the oven door, hang your feet over the top of the door, and sit comfortably over there while the heat was still pouring out of there. It was just wonderful if you found the space. But on real cold nights when the floor was cold and the temperature perhaps 20 or 30 below outside, you really needed something to warm your feet. Now if it was that cold, how in the world could you keep warm at night? That's a good question, and especially those of us kids who were sent upstairs into a wide open room. Hardly ever anyone divided the rooms in the second floor of their homes. They would just put the beds out, the girls perhaps in one corner and the boys in another corner, and never had a bed of your own. You always had to share your bed with your brothers. We had 9 of us kids growing up in the house at the same time. How do you keep warm up there? Well, I'll tell you. We would take our pants off, shoes off, socks off, and if we had a nightgown or pair of pajamas, put them on. If not, put on a garment you might call a night garment. Run like heck, jump into the bed, and wait for the partner, especially, which was very helpful. Now, in extreme cases, they had what we called a white stone, and it was actually a stone. And again, here comes the kitchen range. We would put this white stone into the oven, and this thing was maybe 18 inches wide and maybe 12 inches long, and it had a hook on the end of it. And we would put this thing in the oven and take it along with us, throw it under the covers. When I say covers, I'll relate that we had what you call a feather tick. You don't know what a feather tick is? I'll tell you a little bit later. If you didn't have a white stone, a very common remedy was to take the flat irons. Flat irons are the things Mother and we had our clothes ironed with. These flat irons usually had kind of a clamp that you could hook on top of them, and they would snap into place, but you could release the flat iron from the handle, and usually we had 3 of these flat irons. For those of you who don't know what a flat iron is, they would have them on top of the stove and use one of them until it started to cool off. Then you put the cold one back on the stove and grab another one. Usually, we had three of these flat irons going while Mother was ironing. Well, coming for another purpose of these flat irons, we would put them on the stove, and a lot of time the first one who got them was the lucky one. We had three of them. Hoggish, sometimes we'd take two. Man, what a fight we had sometimes upstairs. But oh, how helpful they were. More next week about keeping warm in a cold house. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.